Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. And we're just put our headphones on, so now we figured some people have too much sound, some people have too little sound, you know? Never a dull moment around here. You're going to enjoy today. I'm going to give you a lot of numbers the first half. So for all of you that are not necessarily number people, there will be concepts that go with the numbers, and I think you'll like it.
I'm definitely a number person. Definitely.
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 But he's not an excellent driver.
Not an excellent driver.
Blows that whole theory.
Is there some kind of backstory you want to share?
So many. So little time. That's a whole different program. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And we have our guest with us today, Gary Cadd.
Good afternoon.
Oh, there he is. So do it one more time so they know your voice.
Good afternoon.
There you have it. Yeah, it's all about the microphones and the headsets, you know. Those are the only two things we have to deal with in here.
Never, so complicated.
And it never fails. There's,
oh, it's not easy. Not just anybody.
Well, we do have laptops,
do
though. And I have a half a hard-boiled egg, so, you know, it's probably more than I should be navigating.
Well, you're half-boiled.
Exactly. Oh. That's why I drive. Okay, so we're talking about public pensions, and we did this a couple of weeks ago. I actually should have looked that up. I will look that up, and I'll post the other show on the page, because all of this is coming to a town near you if you don't happen to live in Redding, California, or a county. Could be your county. It's obviously your state, but the state's a little harder to wrap your mind around. But if you live in a small to medium-sized city, there's a lot of complexity, especially when it comes to the pension thing and how that works out. And always that's tied to your biggest public employee groups. And the ones you see the most are police and fire, although you have all the people who work in your city services doing, you know, all the things that cities do. And all those folks are usually tied up in unions and pension plans. So the second half of the show today, we're going to be chatting with Vint Stevenson, who has taken it upon himself, along with some other folks, to put together a recall for a couple of members of the city council who just don't seem to, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but they don't seem to get it. So they're going to start pulling people off city council because folks are not just going to keep shelling out money and having the same money mismanaged. They're just sick of it. So that'll be the second hour. And there are PDFs on the webpage, so please go to wethepeopleradio.us. If you click on today's page, you will also see a link if you're listening live on Sunday between noon and 2. There's a live link there to join the chat room, so you can always fire questions and comments through that. You can call us if you like. This is one of those shows that might make sense to have people call in. The number here is 530-605-4567. That's also on the front page of the page, or front page of the site. And so we've got four PDFs on that page for you that are going to give you some numbers. And Gary's going to work with that in a kind of in a broad brush sort of way. In case you don't live in Reading, we'll make it relevant for you. And that's all I could think of. If you have comments or questions, too, the website's a good spot to do that. You've got Bill's phone number, my phone number, and our email addresses. And thanks for those of you that write in and let us know what you like and what you don't like and what you'd rather see. So,
and might just want to emphasize that this, if it hasn't already, is coming to a town near you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
And the pension thing
everywhere.
Is like a, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of heart disease. You know, there's always that person you know who, like, worked out, seemed fine, everything looked good, and then, you know, they have this heart problem. I think the pension stuff is almost like a lurking heart disease.
Well, folks, I was just telling Bill and Aaron to start. I know this is more of a county, state, national program, but when you look at the pension issue, you can look at it from a national issue. You can look from a state. Illinois has got a problem. California's got a problem. So there's large problems. The best way to break it down, to be truthful with you, is state, county, and then from the city. Well, in the case of the city, my being a former Reading City Councilman, I started campaigning to run for council in 2008, didn't make it in 2008, didn't make it in 2010, And I'm a sort of a character that keeps trying. So I got on in 12, and I was on there for 4 years. And I tried my darndest to make some changes, but it seems that I never could find myself in the majority.
But when
you were kind of labeled a troublemaker, really. I mean,
which explains what you're doing here, actually. Suddenly makes everything clear.
Yeah. Well,
nobody would listen.
The thing with it is there's so many people within the city of Reading. That's Gary Cadd. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, the only thing I can say to that is Gary Cadd does know what he's talking about. But what I would like to do, if you folks can get to the webpage, you'll see the files there. You'll see miscellaneous 2015, miscellaneous 2016, and the same for safety on 15 and 16.
They're actually labeled 16 and 17, though.
Are they? All right. Well, no,
pretend.
And Aaron is correct. The actual reports are dated, I think they're July 16 and July 17. But you have to realize that these figures are a year behind that we're going to be talking about. So, in other words, the figures we're talking about here are more than a year old or a year stale, if you would take that. But if you go through it and you say, for instance, you open up miscellaneous 16, and you look at the front page. Now, if you scroll down just a little bit, there's some required contributions. You'll notice there that it says fiscal year 2018, and then it has the employer normal costs. Now, the normal cost that the employer pays are the ongoing pension payments as the individual is working. So that's the cost.
This is per person?
Per person on an ongoing basis.
Okay.
Then if you move over one column, you'll find employer amortization, unfunded accrued liability. And you'll notice there that it has $8.6 million. Then you have over in the far right, employee PEPRA rate. Well, the city of Reading at this point has not started using PEPRA. It's a real shame they haven't.
What does it mean?
Well, PEPRA is Public Employee Pension Reform Act of 2013. And what it does, it's got a different formula.
I was going to say, because, I mean, okay, me not knowing anything about this, I'll be the I don't know anything about this person
mm-hmm.
for the sake of our conversation. And the normal rate is 8.7%. And employee, the adjusted rate is 6.75.
Mm-hmm.
So if they started using that,
well, if you see what it boils down to is that the new PEPRA employee will pay half of their pension payment instead of the city paying it. Now, I shouldn't say
and these aren't people that are currently
new hires to the city.
Okay.
Now, the way you could qualify for PEPRA is if you've never been in a CalPERS retirement plan before.
Okay.
Or you have had 6 months and 1 day away from it. In other words, let's say you were working for a public agency that had contract with CalPERS, and you were away from that job. In other words, you left the job, and you were gone for 6 months and a day. When you come back, then you're hired on as PEPRA instead of what's called a CalPERS Classic. The CalPERS Classic is the individuals we're talking about here. And I just said a word I shouldn't say. Don't blame this on the individuals. I shouldn't say individual. This is a system problem.
Sure, because your employer tells you how you're going to be classified.
Right, because you don't have a choice. Yeah, you hire on, and that's the plan that you get.
See, the federal government made a change. Federal employees, after a period of time, I think in the last decade, maybe slightly longer, that shifted, and that's a different pension plan, very different
mm-hmm.
than the folks who worked before. They have much better benefits than the federal employees coming on right now.
Right. Well, see, the city of Reading,
they probably looked at the math.
Right. The city of Reading at this point has not hired full-time employees under PEPRA. If they did, when you first went in and those files that I gave you
mm-hmm.
on the miscellaneous and safety, you'd also see a PEPRA file there, too. and there's no Pepper file there. So at the moment, the city of Reading doesn't have any Pepper employees. Now, having said that, I think they do have some part-time individuals that work under Pepper, and why this is not showing on this last year's form is beyond me. I need to get a hold of CalPERS and ask them why.
So tell us before we have to go to our first break here, but how many employees does this cover? Give us the two big numbers that actually I think will keep people engaged here. You're looking at
how many employees?
1,800 and some employees currently.
Right now we have 1,839 employees. So all the figures we're going to be talking about in this hour are to cover 1,839 employees, 757 active employees, and then 1,082 retired employees or spouses, individuals that are still covered.
Okay.
So it's 1,839 individuals.
But only 700 and...
757 are actively employed.
757 that are still employed. And the unfunded liability for this group...
If you take the miscellaneous,
yep.
and folks, why they call public safety is public safety. That's police and fire.
Right.
Then everybody else is considered miscellaneous. And I'll tell you, when I was on the city council and interacting with individuals that work for the city that are other than public safety, they're far from being miscellaneous.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But for whatever reason, that's what CalPERS right. calls them is miscellaneous.
Okay.
But if you take the latest reports on miscellaneous and CalPERS and you add the unfunded actuarial amount, you will find that it's $597 million. And if you go to page 17 on this report, it will give you a breakdown of what CalPERS at the moment is saying each year of that 30 years is the amount's going to be. Now, keep that in mind quickly. If you go to the previous, this is the 16 year we're talking about.
Right.
It's dated 17, but it's a 16, covers a 16 year.
Right.
If you go back to the 15 year, which is also listed, you can look at, you will find that that amount was $504 million. So it went up $93 million in 1 year.
In 1 year.
And the reason for that is basically...
Still basically 1,800 employees. I mean, no massive change there.
Right. Yeah, they're not a change there.
Okay.
So basically the reason for that going up is they have to, figure in their return on investment. And they have investments, and that return on investment basically should pay for their monthly annuitants, the monthly payments that they pay out. Well, in 14, it came in at, instead of 7.5, it came in at 2.4. And in 15, it came in at 0.6.
Wow.
So
great investments.
2.4 and
well, they divested, just you know, for anybody who wants to just run a little Google search, look up CalPERS investments. They've divested from tobacco. They've divested from fossil fuels. They've divested from guns. They've divested from all these things that are huge, huge payouts. So they're actually screwing over the CalPERS fund, and this is all going to come back at us. So hang on to your wallets, taxpayers. We're going to have a little celebration of capitalism here for 2 minutes. And for the people that are still working, let's support those folks. You're listening to We the People. Our first little song here that we always play, it's Carly Simon. The song's called Them.
Body and soul, then it's just your body, then they go.
kind of funny. Bob plays all these songs and songs we've all heard, but you just hear them different somehow when it's topic related. All right, so we've got former city Reading City Councilman Gary Cadd with us today. We're talking about the CalPERS
unfunded
pensions, I guess we can call it. It's kind of like
the yo-yos.
You talk about
slow motion train wreck.
You talk about CalPERS. I just wonder if people realize how big a fund that is and how many people are in it. I'll bet you if you ask 10 people on the street if they know anybody who's either in CalPERS or drawing from CalPERS, I'll bet almost everybody knows somebody who's in that program. I mean, it's billions. And
anybody who's worked
hundreds of billions of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, it is a huge, huge fund. And they're basically going broke.
Well, let's go back here. And I think it was 1999, Governor Gray Davis gave the prison guards, and they have an actual name of their bargaining group. It's not in my head at the moment. But he gave them, he was wanting to shore up his political base, so he gave them a pension increase. And the pension increase basically was that they went from 2% to 3%. Now, the 2%, do a little math here real quick. Under 2% in the years, maximum years work 30 years. So if you have 2% times 30 years, 2 times 3 is 6. So let's just say for the sake of argument that your ending salary was $100,000. So you would get receive a $60,000 retirement a year. And what they did is they changed that 2% to 3%. So it went to 90,000. So in and of itself, that's quite a jump, you know, for hitting budgets. But that would be, as of a certain date, you would budget, your council or the board of supervisors, whoever they are, would budget for that amount going forward. Well, the thing that really hurt us and where this came from was they made it retroactive back to the first day that each individual started working under the CalPERS retirement system. So it went all the way back, see? And that's when they were all super funded and there was manna from heaven and, oh, the stock market will never go down.
Oh, yeah. They were making money.
And we're just Huckley Buck and this is going to be it, even though the stock market's always gone up and down.
Sure.
But that was never going to happen again.
When was that approximately?
For the state and the guards, I think it was either late 1999 or early 2000. Then the city of Reading Police Department, if I'm not mistaken, the council gave that to them in 2001. See what happened? The prison guards got it, and then once the prison guards got it, then the CHP says, "Well, hey, where's ours?" You know. And then once the CHP got it, well, then the sheriff department and city, the municipal police departments wanted it, and so they just started
dominoed through the system.
Yeah. So. The city of Reading, basically it was in the latter part of 2001 for the police department. I think there was an increase for the fire department in 2002. So as of the moment that started, we had an unfunded pension.
Right.
But the state had it set up to where you didn't have to report it. It wasn't actually reportable, I think until 2008 when Gadsby 65, I think it was. That's a general accounting board. I forget exactly what Gadsby stands for, but there's a set of rules that you have to go by.
Okay.
And that Gadsby changed and forced them to put it on their yearly financial report, which is called, the city calls them a CAFR. And it wasn't reported. And about the time that I started running for city council, and really, you know, looking into it in 2008, there was a couple of people here in town that said, "Gary, if we need to get you on here and you need to be talking about this." So I started talking about unfunded pensions in 2008. Well, have to admit that there was a lot of that you couldn't get a hold of. You couldn't find out what the figures are, couldn't get them out of the city, couldn't get into CalPERS and this and that. So I kept working and working. and we were just making projections. Well, then in 2012, I was successful in capturing a seat on the Reading City Council. And in June of 13, we invited John Bartel, who's a private sector actuarial, very well thought of in the state. And Mr. Starman, our then city manager, invited him up, and he put on a presentation for us.
Just for the city council?
Well, for everybody. It's recorded.
It was open.
So it was open for everybody, mm-hmm. but it was to the city council. Well, of course, I had a list because they wouldn't let me talk to Mr. Bartel by myself. So at that time, so I had a list of questions. Well, I think it got down to the fourth list, and the mayor said, well, it's time to wrap this up. Mr. Bartels made his presentation, and there was a lot of questions to be asked. So then from that point forward, I started, and some other folks started taking what Mr. Bartel told us and started figuring what the percentage was going to be, because at that time CalPERS was figuring in their reports, this report here, if you go back to the 14 report, you won't see dollars in there. You'll see percentages in there. So that led up to my being appointed to the liaison to the League of California Cities. And then I was put on the Employee Relations Policy Committee. This is where, on the League, 100 or so people, council members, city staffers, from up and down the state meet near the Sacramento twice a year, and down the southern part of the state once a year. And then we invite different individuals to come in to talk to us. Well, once I got on that, the first thing I wanted to do is talk to head actuarial from CalPERS, who happened to be a gentleman by the name of Alan Milliken. And so Alan and I met each other, and that started a sort of a four-year that I was there relationship of being able to talk to him. And he was nice enough to answer my questions and the such. So, and I think it was in September of 15, we were at a meeting in San Jose, and Mr. Milliken was putting on a talk. And at the end of the talk, I got up and asked him if he could, instead of putting percentages on the report, put do re mi, the actual dollar amount,
sure,
of what's being projected, mm-hmm. which you can see here, you know, on this report we're looking at now. And he said, sure. So he asked that there was 150 people in the room, and they were basically all city councilors and city staff members. And I was clear up in front when I asked Mr. Milliken the question, and I didn't turn around to look to see, because he said, how many people know the question that Gary just asked me, how many people understand what Gary's asking?
About putting money about, on about, the
put actual the, put the money, amount, actual yeah.
dollar, instead of a percentage, are going to raise it 2%. And I didn't turn around to look, and Mr. Milliken says, Gary, you didn't turn around to look, but he said, I can tell you that there wasn't five or six people raised their hands. Well, that means that there's a ton of city councilors that have no idea about
what's
going on. Well,
they hear 2%, and that's a small number, so that's probably pretty good.
That's, they would just let it go.
Yeah, we can live with that.
When you're talking millions, 2% is a lot of money. But so then they went ahead and started putting the percentages here, and I think that we're looking at this one here is the miscellaneous for 16, June 30th to 16. Uh-huh. Keep in mind, it's always a year behind. But they're projecting that for the 18-19 next year, the payment will be $8.6 million. For 19-20, they're projecting it'll be $10.1 million. And for 2021, it'll be $11.1 million. So you can see that they're going up a little over $1 million or $1 million a year. Well, this is going to continue up until about 25-26. And then that amount basically is going to go forward. Now, this is not a mortgage. This is an amortization of actuarial figures, so they can change depending upon what their rate of return is that they need to get. Because, like I said a minute ago, they got 2.4 and 0.6.
And
three.
That would be the biggest influence on the change, wouldn't it? It would be the rate of return.
There's actually another one, but you take the 2.4 and 0.6 is 3. That's 2 years. They need to get 7.5. That's 15. So the city's going to have to pick up 12%. Well, that's part of the $93 million increase that I told you a minute ago. That's part of that. Now, they also, CalPERS is realizing that 7.5% return is not feasible. So there are actually some projections of saying it needs to be down about 4.5, but they have dropped from the 7.5 down to 7, but they won't do it in 1 year. They do it. Let's see, it's point. Let's see, 0.12. Oh, I can figure in percentages. They're going to cut it. They're going to cut it by a third the first year. Then they'll go to 2.5, and then the third year they'll go down to 7. So the easiest year for us was this last year when we got hit for $93 million. So it's good.
Because the city makes up the difference. In general, whatever CalPERS isn't returning the guaranteed return,
right.
The city makes up the difference.
Right. If you're figuring that monthly you have to pay a certain amount to the folks that are retired, mm-hmm. and you're going to lower that percentage from 7% down to 7,
right.
that's an ongoing forever and ever.
Right.
That's ongoing, and somebody's going to have to pick
somebody's
that up.
Somebody picks up the tab.
Well, guess who the somebody is?
Yep.
In this case, is the city of Reading, the taxpayers. Is what's going to pick it up.
Why do you think the CalPERS, you know, at one time, I don't know if they still are, but they used to be one of the largest funds on the planet. I mean, they were billions.
Well, they are currently $334 billion.
Right.
Now, we need to take ticker.
Well, maybe when we come back, you can answer this. With that kind of money, why can't they get a better return?
Because they've divested. I'm telling you, seriously, this is a huge, huge issue. There was just an article in the SACB. I'll post it because it's still in my email. They have divested from all these things that actually have a great rate of return because they're ideologues. So they're literally shooting the fund in the back, which is going to come right back at the cities. And the cities better plan for it because, again, these guys are ideologues.
I mean, you have personal investment groups out there that invest millions of dollars.
I know an investor for CalPERS, and she's furious. She's
they won't touch anything for that kind of a return. They get a bit much bigger returns.
They want
than
green
that.
Everything. Oh, yeah, no tobacco, no fossil fuels, no
you
this.
Won't,
no.
You won't and, hear a bad thing from me, what you're saying.
And it's like, you got to be kidding me. She's been telling me that for years. All right. Yeah, take a quick break. Everybody's going to have to go take blood pressure medication.
Yeah, I might.
All right, stick
up.
To decaf if you're still drinking coffee. It's Sunday, I know, but switch to decaf. Probably a good idea. You're listening to We the People. We'll be right back. Yes, circus music. A fitting.
I'm an incredibly good investor.
I am. I'm going to divest
from... Give me your money and I will get at least 1.5% on it.
We are ideologues. There's all sorts of articles. I'll post them on the site for today. But this one, before CalPERS can save the world, public workers wanted to save their pensions. Divesting from fossil fuels and firearms has hurt their portfolio immensely.
Yeah.
And the cities and whoever all else is involved in that has to make up the difference. What's the guaranteed return rate?
7.5%
Seven and a half.
Well, they have last December they lowered it to 7. So by lowering it to 7 over the next 3 years, they're going to kick in 3 different steps to get it down to 7, which is going to increase the monthly amount going out.
Yeah.
So the city's going to have to pick that up on an ongoing basis.
Well, so the city's going to pick up the other 5% or whatever it is.
Yeah. But see, that hasn't kicked in yet. That'll kick in starting next year.
Jeez.
Where do they think that money's going to come from? Are they even concerned about it? Or is that something that
they're
going to be able to pay?
Are you asking a question about facts,
they don't basically be concerned about it. Just for instance, if you and folks, I hope out there that you can take a look at these files that they've got on the We the People website. If you look at page 17, it has it broken down. The left-hand side is the current amortization schedule. That's 30 years, and they have 20 years and 15 years. Well, the 20 and 15 year are simply we can't go there. They're way too high. So in other words, you've got 30 years. If you figure, I'm looking here right at the moment at the safety plan. Over 30 years, it's $271 million. And if you add both miscellaneous and safety together, it comes out to $597,843,000. Now, keep in mind something. Had we paid this in somewhat of a timely fashion over the last 17 years, we wouldn't be paying $335 million in interest.
Hmm.
There's an interest payment. If you add both of them together, there's an interest payment of $335 million. Then if you take a look at when you go to these sites, you can also get to the website to look at all 1,526 agencies that contract with CalPERS, and you will also find the County of Shasta involved. If you add the County of Shasta and the City of Redding together, it's $1.1 billion over a 30-year period. And of that amount, $638 million is interest. And I know, folks, you may be listening and going, what the heck is Gary talking about? These are amounts that we are going to pay in the next 30 years. And the thing with it is, caveat, it's going to go up. It will not come down.
Oh, it's going up.
It's going to go up, and it's going to get worse, especially when they start figuring in the change from 7.5% down to 7%.
So, okay. So we've identified the problem, a tiny thumbnail of the problem. Let's use the remainder of our time. What are the choices, right? So what have we seen? Other cities are, like Loyalton, cut pension what, in half?
Well, what's basically happening?
I mean, how are people getting out of this? I mean, we're not the only ones getting hit with this.
Yeah, what can happen is this. You can cut back on city services. We can't do that with police and fire, especially because look at where we're at now. We've never come back from the Great Recession. All right. So you can go into bankruptcy, which is Valeo is out now, been out for some time, but you've got Stockton, you've got San Bernardino, and there's several other cities that are seriously looking at bankruptcy. And bankruptcy will cost you anywhere from $10 to $15 million from start to finish on a bankruptcy. So you could do that, or you can do what Loyalton has done. Now, there's two different ways of going to CalPERS. One that you do not want to do, and that is telling CalPERS, sending a letter to CalPERS and saying, we want out. If you send a letter to CalPERS and say, we want out, CalPERS will want the amount due immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. They'll want it right now.
Yeah. So that's
not an option.
No, that's not a smart thing. I guess one or two cities did do it. But
and what happened to them?
But, well, they've got this monstrous $100 million bill hanging over their head.
So even if they file bankruptcy,
yeah,
that doesn't
get
rid of it?
Well,
at that point?
You're talking legal stuff, and
yeah,
I really can't
I don't
answer
know.
That.
But
what Loyalton did was they turned around and they said, well, CalPERS, we don't have the money. We're not going to be able to get the money. We can't borrow the money. So we're going to have to default. Well, when you default, then CalPERS says, well, Loyalton, you're in a pool. And if you have small government agencies, they put you in a pool with other small government agencies. The city of Redding is in a pool by itself. It's large enough to be a pool by itself. But anyway, they went to the other entities, the other agencies in that pool and said, well, you're going to have to pick up the basically $5 million that Loyalton's not going to pay. And they says, well, duh, we're going to default too then if that's going to be the case. So then CalPERS says, well, all right, if you're going to do that, then Loyalton, this is what we're doing. We're freezing the amount of money that you paid in, that you've already paid in, and for the people that that are already retired, we're going to go back and refigure their retirement. And if I recall, Loyalton had four retirees at that time, and the highest retiree was $72,000 a year. And when CalPERS got back to him, that individual is now making $26,000 a year.
Whoops!
So well,
and they're in their in their 70s.
Most probably, I don't know the age
not,
of the person.
Not but, like but you can you run see, out. You're retired. Yeah. You're not going to run out and get another job.
Right, but you see what's going on. You see, the thing with it is, I've been trying to warn city employees and some of the bargaining units that this could possibly be coming down the road. Now, CalPERS has said, well, Loyalton did that, but we're not going to allow anybody else to do it. Well, the problem with it is according to some attorneys I've been talking to, the cat's out of the bag. I mean, the cow's out of the barn. Once even though it happened for a small government entity, that it can happen for larger
government entities. Well, and really, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, if you just don't have the money and you can't pay it, well, are they going to come fence your town off? And, you know, there's nothing they can do about it. Well, really, they're kind of in a spot, too.
Sure. And the thing with it is, what is government for?
Right.
Public safety is what they're really for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other things they do, sometimes things they shouldn't do, especially the feds. The basic thing is for our public safety of all of us.
But the sad part about this is you have all these folks that, you know, worked their whole life, paid into a pension. You know, they did their part, trusting that the pension managers were going to do their part.
Yeah, they played by the rules.
They played by the rules.
Look,
and in the end, they're the ones that are going to end up footing the bill. And that's somebody needs
because I think it's widely believed that CalPERS is sort of, I mean, to use an old phrase, too big to fail. You know, CalPERS.
There's nothing too big to fail.
Exactly. But CalPERS has always been seen as this, you know, monolith that there's no way
Aaron, there's
the juggernaut will ever go off course.
There's a thing coming. It's too big to fail. There's getting to the point that too big to fail is going to be too big of a word.
Exactly.
Too big of a phrase,
it's
if you will. I'm sorry, but a phrase.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it can fail. It will fail. And it's just like with the two auto companies.
Well, the bigger they are, the
Well, the two GM and Chrysler.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to happen to them was allow them to go into bankruptcy. They wouldn't have been out of business for probably a year,
right.
And then somebody else would have gone in and bought up the stock, bought up the
reorganized it, and came out stronger than ever.
Sure, that's right.
That's our system.
Yeah,
that's how our system is supposed to work.
Everything but the government.
Right. Right.
And that's, well, you know.
I know, because they're special, huh?
And then see,
in a bad way, bad special.
See, you've got another thing too when I mentioned earlier that it went retroactive, that was for public safety. Well, then in 2004, October 25th, 2004, the city council voted into place a program called PARS. For the miscellaneous employees, and they didn't raise it to 3%. They went to 2.7, which was a 60, you know, 2 times 3 is 6.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 81. So they got 81,000. So when they put it into effect on January 1st of 2005, there was individuals, they went retroactive, and there was individuals who were just retiring. And that fund, at the end of the first year, was 17.2 million unfunded. And that unfunded as of 2014-15 was just short of $70 million. And they were to pay $6.1 million a year on top of everything else that we've been talking here on CalPERS. Mm-hmm. That's on top of it. So you take these CalPERS figures and add roughly another $6 million to it. Now, there's been so many, and they figure that one on a percent of salary.
So you're basically $600 million. Because I remember back when you were running for city council, it was $300.
Well, yeah.
That was kind of the number, but of course, because, a lot of it wasn't.
Because in the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report of the city,
right.
They showed an amount, and that amount was as of 2 years ago.
But I guess my only point in bringing that up isn't that think you were wrong or something. But back then, that's what you thought it was. And that didn't impress anybody. Nobody was worried.
$350
million. $350
million,
because yeah. I remember thinking, why yeah. isn't anybody really worried about this? And they kept saying, well, we don't need to talk about that. We don't need to work on it. Now it's like, in real life now, it's mm-hmm. just shy of $600 million. Well, and you would think people
when does it do? I mean, when is the city going to get hit in the face with this and have to come up with some cash?
Well, they're hit right now. I mean, there's been three individuals, two council members and one new city manager that have been sitting in this very room making the statement that they're going to have a $25 million problem over the next 5 years. They're going to have a $25 million problem each year of the next 5 years
right.
and going off into the future.
And
it's been said that I don't know what I'm talking about.
And this
about.
Is a town with 90,000 people, just for reference mm-hmm. for people who don't live here. It's a town with 90,000 people.
Right.
I mean, it isn't like we're Los Angeles or something. We don't have a stadium. We're 2.5 hours north of Sacramento. So we're the biggest city between Sacramento and... I don't know.
Eugene or...
Yeah. Medford. Well, I mean, so it's not like we're part of some massive metropolitan area, and we're not particularly growing. We're not going to earn our way out of it.
Mr. Stevenson is going to be coming in a few minutes, and probably part of what he's going to be talking about, that the city council gave a particular individual with the city a $12,000 a year raise.
Which bumps everybody else up.
Well, yeah, and everybody's
not yet,
going
but
up.
It's coming.
And the upper management, you've got a new city manager. Well, he got a $21,000. I don't know. I think it's about a $19,000 increase when he took the job. I mean the financing of the city ready, especially up in the upper level, is just completely out of line.
Completely mental.
Right.
All right. Swift break. We'll be right back. Some final thoughts. Yeah, final nails for the coffin. How's that? You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need fun.
Be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance before the fiddlers have played, before they ask us to pay the bills. And while we still have the chance...
I just wish we had the time.
Pay the bill while we still have the chance.
It's a new Reading theme song.
See, this is how we don't all just go away angry, right? Okay, so if we fired every employee in the city, let's say we got rid of all 750, whatever the heck it was. Okay,
we took out our own trash for a couple of years.
Yeah, whatever it was. All right, let's say we did that. Does that solve the problem?
No. No, with as much as it's going up. See, the thing
just
with
in case somebody at home is thinking about that,
it's just completely out of realm, out of imaginable realm, that where this is going. What happens if the stock market takes a correction? Which there's been a lot of people talking about it taking a correction. If it takes a correction, it could go up half again.
So the stock market goes down, then the city's got to make up. Yeah. Double what it's making up now.
Because city makes up whatever they come up short on.
Right. Because
it's
a
California option. It's right in the darn California Constitution.
Because it's a guaranteed return.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we need people on the city council that don't listen to staff, And I know people say, well, staff knows all. And
well, they're the experts,
though.
So.
Well, I mean, take that information and then.
You have to process. I'm not, I shouldn't say don't listen to staff.
Right,
but take staff's information and then dig into it. Ask questions and find out what's really going on.
Right.
Because then you'll find out just exactly where you're at instead of saying, well, the staff's got this and we're going to go with third. I would say no. That's from my background to be on the council. And some people have asked me if I'm running for Reading City Council again. No.
Well, there's no
so awesome. You done
there's no easy solution to this, and like we said earlier, we're heading for a really, really bad landing. And where do we come out on the other end of this? I mean, what do you see for Reading?
For a city as beautiful as the city of Reading, with the river running through it, I-5 running through it, and the railroad running through it. Two beautiful lakes, hunting, fishing, and everything else. We have got to work together to work on this problem to make the landing as easy as possible so that we can go on living here and enjoying this city.
Because at the end of the day, everyone knows in the summer we are only 2 miles from the sun,
And
it's 8,000 degrees here.
Well,
so that
is.
Will always keep a control on our population because people fear the summer, which is kind of fun in a way. I mean, you know, we're not going to have a population explosion, but...
There's another thing that I might mention at the point. It's time for old Gary to get back on his saddle again and start going, we need a Reading Electric Utility Commission again.
Yes.
We need it bad.
We need some oversight.
We need the oversight.
From the citizens.
Well, that's
citizens, we need to get smarter about all this.
Well,
because we really don't know.
We put one into effect. I was finally able to get one into effect in 2012. And of course, the 2014 council, bam, gone.
Yep.
And then they started wanting to raise rates.
Didn't like what they were saying.
So, yeah, because we own our electric company. We did a good show on that.
Yeah. All righty.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the recall. And so we're going to find out how we make these changes and how you can be part of it and what you could do in your own town if you're having this problem. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Well, here we all are. We actually got out of our chairs for 5 minutes. Kind of like we're just starting over. All new players.
I had to let the blood rush out of my head.
I know. It was a... Sorry. This hour won't be... Actually, this will be a blood boiler too, I suppose. Depends on where you are and the whole thing. But, you know, it's always nice to have solutions. Because we talk a lot
solutions
about problems. And we try really hard to include some solutions. But they're not always readily available. The issue from the first hour with the unfunded pensions and stuff does have a solution in our particular case. So if you live in another part of the country or in another, you know, city or whatever, you might be considering, what are you going to do about it? So you could take a page out of our playbook. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online. It's wethepeopleradio.us. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
All the music comes from Bob. Bob gets all the credit for the music. If you have, topics you'd like to hear, if you have things that you need to send us, if you're bugged about something, because we're not fair and balanced and we don't pretend to be, I figure the other team gets the bulk of the airwaves in the world these days. So we pretty much only talk about things we agree with. We don't really feel the need to give the opposition a voice. They got plenty of friends out there.
With the Koch brothers' money they send us,
we
can talk about anything they want.
Wait, who are the other guys? The Rothschilds.
Yeah.
We get accused of all sorts of stuff. Go
the
figure.
Illuminati.
Darn
yeah,
them.
The Illuminati.
You know their checks never show up.
Their check's late again this month,
I
too.
I know. Yeah, my Illuminati account's really low.
They count
a few months late.
Yeah. So our guest this hour is Vint Stevenson, who sent me no bio, although I know he was in the Marine Corps. And he does investment-ness.
There you go.
Nice.
I told him, if you don't send me something, I'm just going to make crap up.
Good words.
And here we go.
The games begin.
Investment advisor. Got a gun and ammo business. Let's see, what else? Mortgage business. And
you do?
Cafe.
What's it called?
Honor Financial. It's actually a smaller portion underneath Omega Mortgage. So Dan has some very personal reasons for being a part of it. But we went together and we put together Honor Financial, and we'll be coming out with it hopefully strongly in the next few months. And we only hire veterans or veteran spouses, and we do veterans loans, and we give a portion of the loan back to the local veteran community.
Nice.
In the form of organizations. So, yep.
Good. And you are... How are you connected with the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council?
I am the president of CVAC.
I was going to say that, yeah, but I wasn't sure if that was true. Why am I worried about that now? Because I should have just shot it out there.
Yeah. So we do a lot of stuff in the community. We're working with the CHPs.
Explain what the Shasta County Veterans Council for those people who either don't live in our county or.
Shasta County is a very strongly represented veteran community within the Shasta County area. We have 27 military organizations that are nationally recognized and registered.
VFW, American Legion, those kinds of organizations.
And vets, all the way down the list. So with that, the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council gets together with the heads of those organizations or the representatives, and we discuss where we're going as a group, what kind of things we can be doing that we don't step on each other or get in each other's way. But quite frankly, it went through a time period where a lot of things were kind of, taking a little bit more of an apathy position. And we're kind of evolving out of that now. And so we're participating in a lot more things. We have an event coming up October 7th, next Saturday, at the Veterans Memorial Hall next to the post office in downtown Yuba. We're doing it with the California Highway Patrol, and it's a youth fundraiser. So we're bringing in 4-H, FFA, Little League, cheerleaders, you name it. They'll be there represented, and we're going to turn over all proceeds to the kids group so they won't have to go out and wash cars or sell cookie dough.
And the kids group is?
Kids groups are any of them.
Oh, any of them.
We're dividing them up. We're basically creating a venue for them to come to us, and then we're going to do everything we can to drive revenue for them.
Nice.
The KISS group will be recognized then.
Because what does it mean?
California Highway Patrol has started a new group that is actually kids involved in supporting Shasta.
There you go.
So we did our first event the 17th, which is a Sunday. We basically flash mobbed a home in Anderson. A gentleman who needed some help, who wasn't able to do some of the things that he had been used to doing for himself for many years. And we cut wood, and we tore down old fences, and we split wood, and we got things ready to burn, and so on. So we basically just cleaned up his yard.
So you basically let all the kids that are part of that group, hey, we're meeting on this day at this time, show up.
We had I can count four adults, myself included, and we had probably 25, 30 kids. And so we're going to be doing this as a flash mob in different areas.
What age group?
All the way from young, 7, 8 years old, all the way up to, they're probably not really even kids anymore. But it was a very strong representation. The kids did fantastic. I mean, they had great attitudes the entire time. They worked hard. They did you could tell they were just into it.
Right.
So we have the idea. We're working with the library. We're working with a couple projects that have been presented to us. And we'll be doing those. You'll be hearing about those in the coming weeks.
So this isn't something funded by the government or the city or the whatever. This isn't some national organization. It's a thing that you guys made up.
This is something that Shasta County and our community specifically should be locked into. And it's not just necessarily this particular project, but all projects like this.
Mm-hmm.
Shasta Support Services, groups like that. It's time for us to do for ourselves. Sacramento's not going to save us. Washington's not going to save us. Quite frankly, they have much bigger problems. So we need to, if we're going to walk out the other end of this tunnel and walk into a sustainable path again, it's going to be because we did it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for us to come together, time for us to figure out what is going to make us sustainable and get this thing moving in the right direction.
So I have not posted anything for you because you didn't send it. Little blame there.
Yeah.
But I do want to, because if there's somebody listening who says, well, geez, my kids might want to be involved in that.
Yep.
What's the easy way for them to do that?
They could contact me directly at ventwstevenson.com. They could contact me on my personal number at 949-5000. That's 530, obviously. So 530-949-5000. They can contact us, ShastaCountyUnited.com. There's just a number of different ways.
And cool. So if they wanted to donate money to those to that cause, that's where they would go.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, not everybody has kids and not everybody can do that. But, yeah, if they could support financially, that would help a lot. I'm sure sometimes you need materials.
Yeah, we're working with the groups right now. We're trying to interview with different organizations that I know would potentially like to be a part so we can actually take that next step, which will be starting to do repairs on homes. Mm-hmm. So doing some things that are necessary. The VFW and us work with the Home Depot on some projects for veterans, and I think this is something that we could do for people who aren't necessarily veterans, but have some need. Mm-hmm. So we're doing some good things.
Oh, good.
Nice. So
it's nice to know there's projects like that out there that don't involve, you know, any
bureaucracy
kind of city or county
and,
or, you know, huge administrative costs and, you know.
CalPERS.
Yeah. I mean, just go out and
we're
do
in deep
work
enough on that as it is.
And you get it done and you benefit the people directly.
So I do believe we've set the stage well. You're like a get it done kind of person.
Yeah. That's to us right now, for a lot of people out there who are doing things, I think the county of Shasta, the city of Redding, and the surrounding community, we all need to start asking ourselves, what kind of people are we now? Mm-hmm. I grew up here. I grew up out in Palo Cedro 55-plus years ago. Actually, 56 now. I just had a birthday.
Me too.
56.
Welcome to 56.
There you go. And so we're at a stage where we really need to kind of look within and decide, are we complainers? Are we whiners? What kind of people are we? Or are we people who recognize that there's an issue and stand up to that issue and address it regardless of what kind of headwinds hit us and push through it and do what's necessary? Because I heard a lot of people prior to us announcing the recall that were very upset with the direction of our community, were very upset with the things that they were being asked to endure on a daily basis and especially a nightly basis. And then when the time
just
came
with crime
for,
and that
yep.
kind of thing. Sure.
And when the time came for us to actually do something and stand up and say, it's time, you know what, let's let them know that we no longer support this direction. A lot of those people still continue to complain, but failed to act.
Right.
And so if we're not a community of people who actually act on our feelings and our needs, then you know what, let's recognize that. Because if that's the case, then maybe we need to turn it over to somebody from Southern California and just live with what comes with it. Mm-hmm. But if we're not that type of person, which I don't think we are, then you know what? It's time for us all to stand up. And you're either going to volunteer, you're going to contribute, you're going to be a part somehow, but you're going to be part of the solution mm-hmm. and not continue to be or act the victim.
Right.
Because this is getting old, people.
Yeah, it is, and I think
and it isn't going to fix itself.
I think once the word gets out, I hope you'll get a lot more participation because I hear it every day.
Yep.
People are just fed up, and it to the lay person looking at the problem, it just doesn't look that complicated.
No.
And they're making this out to be this huge deal that it's going to require all these special interests to solve, and we need to just stand back and let them do it. They're not getting it done.
No.
It's not getting done.
Not even close.
No.
And quite frankly, the more they can complicate it,
mm-hmm.
the better it is for them.
Sure.
Because it basically then gives
them... It locks everybody out.
Job involvement and excludes everyone else.
Right.
You have to have professionals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we'll handle this.
Only
professionals
can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's true. And there are a lot of things the community can do. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and... chat more about all this. I am posting Vince information online for you. So if you're looking on there and you're like, what the heck? She's got nothing on there. Refresh your page. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be right back.
I've been low, I've been yes, and I've been oh.
in light of everything that goes on, that actually seems kind of bizarre. We hope and pray San Francisco does not save us. They're kind of saving we don't need. But it is a snazzy song. Okay, so Reading, the city of Reading, 90,000 people, and they've got 1,800 and some change on the retirement system that's now mushroomed up to $600 million, as Gary gave us in the first half here. So let's begin taking people off the city council, huh?
Well, you know what? There's a lot of things we can do at this point.
Let's go after the decision makers. Huh?
Quite frankly, this is there's only a certain amount of people who actually pull the strings, and at this point, we have to look at those people. I made it very clear from the beginning, even though a lot of people didn't realize who was kind of behind this, but I made it very clear that this was not a personal issue. This was a situation. I looked at this from almost a stockholder's position. If you and I own stock in a particular business and we had hired a manager, or in this case a CEO, to do a job, and we realize that we are now in a different era for our company, and that person does not possess the proper skills and
they
background.
They put us in a massive deficit position. Yeah. They refuse to acknowledge it.
Whether they were,
and they have no interest in fixing it.
Or whether they were the cause or not.
Correct.
Quite frankly, it becomes, how do we save the ship?
Yes.
And so at this point, we look at the skills and the and what that person offers, and we say, you know what, we need somebody else. And we need something else that actually allows us then to put us back on that path. And in this case, those two people were the people we looked at and said, they just don't have it. These are people who I'm not going to judge their intentions. I'll only judge their actions. I only think that's fair. But quite frankly, they made it very clear where their priorities were, where their alliances were, and quite frankly, where the city stood in this whole thing. We are on a absolute collapse course. We are going to actually crash and burn. If Barry Tippin were sitting here right next to us right now.
And he is the current city manager.
He is the current city manager who used to run REU. So he
is Reading Electric Utility. For people who don't live here, they're like, they're acronyming me what?
So he is a person who has said it to me. He said it to the city council. He said it to a number of people. We are approximately 16 months away from deficit spending. We have hundreds of millions of dollars in debt and unfunded pension, and that doesn't count underfunded pension. Right now, I can tell you from as an advisor, we are 101 months away from our last correction in the market. That is the third largest streak of positive months in the entire history of our tracking the market. 101 months. We are destined to have an adjustment at some point.
Yeah.
When we have that, that will hurt us even further. If the pilot program were to be lost, that would hurt us extensively. I'm sure Gary talked about that. The bottom line is any of these things could potentially exacerbate the already crazy situation we find ourselves in. There are cities all over the state of California, and there are cities all over the nation that are bankrupting right now because of this. Right now, Hartford, Connecticut is considering going bankrupt.
My old hometown.
Okay. Hartford,
Connecticut. I was in West Hartford, if that helps at all.
I almost went to work there.
Really?
Yeah, at a company right after the Corps.
My dad was at Travelers.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that because that's where I was considering going to work. So, I mean, a lot of things going on right now. And if you think that the state can bail you out, the state has probably upwards of
happening.
Close to $750 billion in debt. On top of it, 1.2 is the number that I've heard, but I've only been able to track three quarters of a trillion. If you're looking at the nation, we're talking about $6 trillion worth of issue within these unfunded pension issues. So this is going across the nation. On top of this, when you look at, all right, so we've got a safety net. The safety net's called the PBGC, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. You buy this insurance from them and they guarantee this pension. They guarantee it up to 56%. So here's the bottom line. When the Teamster 707 back in New Jersey, now imagine a Teamsters union in New Jersey going under, one of the most powerful groups out there. When they went under, the PBGC said, yes, we'll guarantee it up to 56%, but we can only do it for 6 to 8 years because we're going under. Because there's so many pensions that are collapsing right now that they're not receiving enough premium to take care of all this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got a situation, guys. When I first started talking, I said, said, you know what, we got to decide as a city, as a community, as a county, that we're going to solve our own problems. Because quite frankly, the state can't do it and the federal government can't do it. And I know there's people out there that say, oh, well, a lot of these things are put on us by the state and there's just no way for us to solve it. You know, if that's the case, you should probably move. Because quite frankly, we're in it to solve it. We're in it to find solutions for it. And we need to put everything on the table when we start to talking about how to bring these solutions to the table.
You made a comment earlier about this is not you're not making this personal. Have you had people make this?
Oh, hold on. Let me answer. How about someone that I know received a message from one of the people being recalled who said, I know you're such a nice person and you wouldn't be involved in this. It's probably that Aaron Ryan.
Yeah. See, that's exactly
like,
yeah.
What the
that's
heck?
Where I was going.
I have nothing to do with it.
When they don't have a legitimate response, they always go personal.
When I was in college, I did debate.
Yes.
And ad hominem arguments were your last ditch effort. Well, if you couldn't do anything else, attack the person.
There
right
you
front
go.
Of
but that's right out of the bag.
Oh, they're doing KKK stuff. We had to get a restraining order against somebody because he was bringing out KKK signs and hanging them behind our people.
Nice.
I mean, just
just
to try to get.
You know,
people
it's funny with the Tea Party. We had people who would show up with swastikas and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, go somebody throw a net over that guy on the other corner. Like if we were protesting on multiple mm-hmm. corners, they'd be on the far corners. Like, go get that guy. Because he knew that's what would show up in the paper.
That's how they do it.
I mean, this group is made up of like eight different groups right now. And it's very.
The recall group.
And it's very apolitical. I mean, you can imagine. I actually had to speak to group members to say, you know what, you need to bring down your passion on some areas because we've got such strong representation from all factions here. And it's basically everybody's come together for one thing, to put us back on a sustainable path. Mm-hmm. And it's like, guys, it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. We're in trouble. So if you're a city employee right now, we're reaching out to these unions to talk to them, not to particularly to their leadership, unless their leadership truly wants to listen, but just to talk to them and say, you know what, if there's any one group out here that's trying to fix this and save it for you, it's us. Because we represent the people who want to keep our obligation, want to keep our promise to these city employees, and say we're going to do everything we can to save you. Now, the people moving forward that we hire and bring on, they're going to have to live in a new reality mm-hmm. because we can't afford you guys anymore. But if you're a city employee or a county employee and you're out there listening, you need to get with us because, quite frankly, if they keep going on the path they're going, you need to start looking at 56%.
I was going to say you're going to join the 56% club.
Yeah, and that new reality has been in private industry for many, many years.
Yes.
I mean, and that is, I think, was one of the turning points for governments. You know, it used to be you went to college and then you went to work for a corporation. You got a good pension and you worked your life and you retired. If you couldn't do that, if you just, you know, didn't have an education and you couldn't get a job in a corporation, you went to work for the government mm-hmm. and you hung out there for a while until you were able to find something and then you bailed and got a real job.
Or it gave you security until.
That's right.
Well, you took less money because you had a guaranteed pension.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That was always
the
thing.
A trade-off.
That's
yes.
a trade-off. And
now it's
that
top
has
dollar
completely
and
flipped
pension.
Over now where people go to college and the first thing they want to do is go to work for the government.
Absolutely. Why
that's,
wouldn't you?
That's where all the bennies are.
Yeah.
Because private industry can't afford it anymore.
Yeah. What person who owns their own company would pay these types of salaries?
Nobody.
Because, I mean, and this is a conversation that Barry and I had multiple times. If you were actually, I mean, if Barry were here and he were talking about it, he would basically say, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, this is something I've heard from him, said, you know, why are you hiring these people at these rates? And basically the premise is we have to compete. We have to compete with these other municipalities for this quality.
That is such a load.
It really is, guys. And here's part of the reason why.
What does that mean?
Because let's imagine the four of us have a business and we want to spend more time with our families or travel or do whatever. And we decide we're going to hire a manager. Well, we would love to have the person who just graduated from Harvard Business School and they could come in here and just you know, do wonderful stuff for our business and bring us up into the 21st century and all kinds of good stuff. But you know what? Our budget ultimately decides who we're going to hire. And we may only be able to hire somebody from Chico or Simpson. I'm not coming down on you guys. I'm just saying.
Like a local, school.
A local school. Or we might be able to hire just a good old boy or gal that actually knows our business and understands the market.
Somebody from in-house.
But ultimately, our budget decides this.
That's right.
Yeah.
And right now, they have no – I mean, the idea is we'll just reach back in the taxpayers' pockets and we'll bump up our budget. Well, guess what? It's done. Measure D sent a very strong message.
And that was the tax increase for police and fire?
Yep. They basically said, we're going to do a half-cent sales tax, and the community said, no, we can't trust you with what you're spending money on.
And they weren't going to guarantee that it was going to go specifically for police and fire, and once people found that out...
Well, they said, trust us. We will do it.
Oh, yeah, we got your back.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, they were also making it very clear that, no, we don't have a pension unfunded pension issue. They were sticking to that all the way to the end, and now all of a sudden, supposedly, somebody found it in a closet. Kurt had hidden it in there somehow.
Where did this come from?
Nobody knew it. The second in command
didn't even
know it.
Gary Cad's been like a Paul Revere, you know, the pensions are coming, the pensions are coming. And unfortunately,
well, think about it.
They blew him off for years.
At the Veterans Memorial Hall, Gary and myself and a couple others actually brought Pete up to talk about, you know, all the things that were going on and the actuarials and so on. We were trying to help, and Gary, like you say, Gary's been doing it twice as long as the rest of us. And nobody wants to listen.
And they all said he didn't know what he was talking about.
Exactly.
Apparently, he probably did. And we brought it up last hour. He was talking $350 million, and now it's $600 million.
Yeah.
And they're still saying he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm like, God, somebody please admit it before it doubles again.
Well, and then you talk to them now, and they say, well, yeah, we just had an 11% return.
Right.
Yeah, how much of a difference did that make? $27 million? Wow. You only got a little ways more to go. Keep going.
Still got 600. Jeez. We have a hostage on the phone. Should we say hello to the hostage, or do we have to take a quick break?
I believe the hostage has left us.
Oh, the hostage is gone?
Yes.
Gary, call back. You know, Gary was one of my teachers in high school.
Was he?
Yeah.
Gary Holland.
Sorry, Gary. Threw you under the bus.
Gary, call us back.
It's been a long time.
Although I just want you to know that Bob wrote Gary Houlihan, and all I was thinking was Hot Lips. Gary's on the phone! But that's not correct, because it's Holland. Aren't you sad you didn't stay on the line? You could be asking a question, rather.
Let's just abuse him until he calls back.
Oh my God, we are a sick crew. You know what? This is super fun. Nice to have you in studio. You know, we're always talking to some faceless person on the phone. It's very nice.
Yeah.
All right, better take a swift break as long as Gary hasn't called us back yet. Do it, Gary, do it. And you can find all the contact information, actually, for Vint. I have posted it at wethepeopleradio.us. The taxpayers lament. So Gary Holland called us back after we goaded him.
He couldn't take it.
He figured he better speak for himself before we come back from a break and start on him again.
He wanted to be abused in person.
Outstanding. We love that about you, Gary.
Yes. you can understand why my teaching was not a job but an adventure, because I have such great students. I probably have the best students of any teacher in Reading, it shows. Anyway.
I'm just sorry that Vint and I weren't classmates.
Right.
That would have been fantastic.
Activities, before she was elected, in the audience at a city council meeting sat Kristen Schrader behind me. And this was at the infancy of our State of Jefferson movement. And I asked her what she thought of the State of Jefferson movement. And she said, over her dead body. And I don't know if that was an empty campaign promise or she promises to carry that out. But anyway, your other candidate for recall, in her brilliance, said she did not want to be in a state that did not have a major league baseball team.
Right on.
I remember that.
That's a criteria.
That's right. That was Francie.
Maybe San Francisco.
Thank you so much for doing what you are doing. And maybe Aaron, a candidate, is also a former student. So hopefully her business acumen gives her a look into the future farther than the end of her nose, which current city council and past city councils have demonstrated that they had no clue into the future other than Gary Cadd and Patrick Jones. So I'd just like to add that ramp, and I'm not quite as optimistic about the doers around here. We'll see. I predict that next Saturday's Freedom Festival will not attract more than 5,000 people because, and I'll be harsh, people are too lazy, too stupid to have an idea. And one other thing, the State of Jefferson, if it was supported by our city council and or the Board of Supervisors, we might have been farther along than we are by year, etc. But both governing agencies were too dumb and too selfish to know what might have happened if we do something differently. So, again, I thank you very much for doing the recall and so on, and also this program that allows people, if they're listening, to hear the truth and what's happening. So thanks again. I'll listen to your comments on the air.
Awesome, Gary.
Thanks a lot, Gary. And we should actually just one little clarification. The person running for city council is not Aaron Moi. It's Aaron Reznor. It's a different Aaron, but, you know, the fact that she's named Aaron, of course, makes her awesome. So,
and I'll bet that Aaron Ryan had something to do with that, too.
Blame Aaron!
It's either her fault or Trump's.
Exactly. And then we have Round Mountain Bob on the other line who, I don't know, has a question or comment.
Yes, Aaron, you have Round Mountain Bob again. The pain in Reddy's butt. Anyway, I am one of the people that go out and are getting these signatures for this recall.
Good for you.
And the thing is, talking to people, they are more worried here in Reading that it's going to cost us $250,000 to get rid of these people, and that they think we ought to just leave them there. And like I asked them, how many millions of dollars have they cost us since they've been in office? And they said, well, that don't matter. Why weren't you there to make them change their mind? I said, I was there to make them change their mind, but they didn't want to hear what I had to say. I said, and then they waited for me to go to the end of the list at the end of the night to be able to be called up to talk. I said, now, what did Obama do to us before he got office? And they said, well, he cost us trillions of dollars. I said, how many million are these two going to cost us before we get them out of office.
Hey, Bob.
And they just walk away confused.
And if you want to look at something, look at the, just compare apples to apples. Look at the budget from last year and look at the budget from this year for the city. The city employee contribution, or in this case, the city employee budget, went up $7.3 million, almost 7.4. So you divide that over the number of city council meetings, and that $250,000 would be paid for in 1 2-week period. Right now,
that's what I told them. It would be paid shortly if we got rid of them and got good people in there. But they said, we elected them. We ought to just leave them there.
Yeah, because that's you know, expecting them to do something different.
Yeah, because we scared them. Now they'll get in line now. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
I mean, I don't like their reasoning, but, you know, I thought I'd call in and tell you this because I am out there getting signatures. I do listen to these people. I do go to city council and give them a hunk of my mind. But, you know, they don't listen as well as the people don't listen in this the county of Shasta, in the city of Redding.
Well, thanks for that. Your observation on that. We appreciate it.
You bet. You have a good one. Enjoy.
You too.
Doing thanks, a great
Bob.
Job.
And the one thing to bring up on whole idea, you had told me this quite a while back, you know, why not just wait until the next election? Why do it now?
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
if you look at the end of the agenda that is currently happening every 2 weeks for the city council, you'll see a closed session that is scheduled for every city council meeting. That closed session is dedicated to labor talks. Right now, they're discussing renegotiating contracts for 11 unions. That's all going to happen before November of next year. So this is a time for us to take away the people who obviously have not looked beyond, as Bob says, their nose, and has not looked to create a sustainable path for us as a community, and instead has continued to just exacerbate or make worse the conditions that we are already in as far as our budget. This thing is going up so fast that we're talking about deficit spending. Imagine your household deficit spending. You're spending more money than you have coming in. What would that feel like? How would you be losing sleep? The only reason most of you in this community are not losing sleep right now is because you haven't taken the time to make yourself aware of what's going on. That's the only reason. And we have terms for that. And quite frankly, you can come up with your own. But quite frankly, you need to be aware. This is your community. If you care about it, make something happen. Make shift happen.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good slogan. I like that slogan. It's a radio-friendly slogan. All right, so quick break or caller on hold.
Well, let's go to Maria first.
All right. Maria's been on hold. She will not need to be a hostage throughout the commercial break.
No, I'm not a hostage.
Fire away.
Okay. Am I there?
You are.
Yeah, okay. Well, while Gary Cat was talking, my mind, you know, got dizzy because of so many numbers and percentages. So I decided to call my family in Spain, Barcelona, of all places. And, do you know, do those people talk, I mean, the people here, it seems like they call each other and say the same words. Because I hear the same thing from there. How are we going to pay the pensions? This is what my...
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on here? And so now with the crap that's going on over there, supposedly all illegal, 500 people have been beaten, and, you know, on and on and on. But I get the same thing from there. How can that be?
Apparently it was a worldwide collective mindset.
Yes.
Where it just seems let's go to work for the government and drive it into the ditch as long as we can.
They have a manual that they go to.
A manual.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So when you
to me, this looks very sinister. It doesn't look like, oh, it just happened. It doesn't look like it just happened. It to happen all of a sudden, all over the place.
Any time that there is a lack of transparency and a lack of accountability, I agree with you, Maria. It starts looking very sinister. So.
Well, okay. And that is a huge thing right there. You hit it right on the head. When was the last time we've had accountability in government? It's been years
well,
and
years. Well, get rid of the citizen commissions on, like, the Reading Electric Utility. We don't need citizen oversight. People don't even know what they're looking at. You know, we're the...
Yeah, they know best.
And, you know, Maria, the one thing that is the common thread in all this is, don't you worry yourself about it.
We got this.
Oh, no.
We've got this handled, right? That's what we're always told.
Yeah.
We're the smart ones. We'll get it taken care of. You just... go work on your little stuff.
I'm the one that had solutions for the Muslim, remember?
Oh, yeah. No, them. I remember you.
Special solutions, yes.
Special solutions. I think it was like an island.
I have solutions for these, too. Very easy solutions, really. And one right after the other have to go.
Yeah.
Not just two. Just methodically. And what? You're next, and you're next, and then the other group, the ones that run the city. Not the city council, the supervisors. Then you're next.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of talk about that.
Yes, that's it. And you tell them that you're next. And
well, okay. I think when you it's if you can reinstate accountability
and
you make it very public what these people are voting on and what the consequences are, I think just that in itself will get people fired up and might get these people to start toeing the line a little bit more.
Well, the recall effort as a whole has a couple of little merits to it. One, obviously, we're after the urgency on crime and trying to deal with moving things forward quickly. Secondly, we're dealing with the pension and some of the budgetary issues and so on. But that transparency and accountability is a big part of it. And the idea is to get new candidates in there. But then along with that, two ballot measures that we'll be introducing as well. One brings back the REU Advisory Council that Gary was talking about. We've already got somebody forming that. And secondly, to introduce and accept, embrace the COIN initiative, which is a open negotiation for all labor contract requirement. So that will go in as an ordinance, and the people will then be able to go into session when they do labor talks.
And
this is something they hate.
Yeah, I don't understand how we ever got away from that.
No,
why is that a big secret?
It makes no sense that we would not be able to be there, since who are they obligating when they make those contracts?
That's right.
They're obligating us, and they're taking away our services, and they're pulling more money out of our pockets that would have gone towards some of our dreams that we were actually considering.
Mm-hmm. Dreams? So, are you kidding me? most of the people here, really, in Reading, they are on pension minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're not very much money here, but they said the medium. Yeah, because they count the 320,000 that the REU are making, and they count the police they're making, so that goes into the medium. All false, all smoking mirrors.
Maria, I got it. We need somebody to break out all city employees, all REU employees, and give us a real median income.
That
I
would
wonder
be interesting.
What that would look like.
Yes.
Because
it would look
that,
horrible.
That would...
It would look like Biafra. That's what it would look like. Hungry.
What do you really think?
Thank you,
Maria. We appreciate your call. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for
bye
listening.
Bye.
We think your solutions are fun, by the way. All right, we've got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with Vince Stevenson in our final moments. Going to have it all wrapped up for you in a little package. You can find more information about all this and catch up with the archive if you missed the first half at wethepeopleradio.us.
Yes, it's over, call it a day. Sorry that it had to end this way. No reason to pretend, we knew it had to end someday.
It's the recall theme song.
Yes, it's over, the kicks are gone.
Is that Kristen or Francis?
Aaron Ryan's fault. She's in it.
We need to do a song together.
We do.
Oh,
I believe we got it.
Too much, too little, too late.
Yeah. Bob, you nailed it.
Too killing it, man.
Too little, too late to try again with you. Something that we knew was over. Oh, it was over.
was walking down the street on a sunny day. Hubba, 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 hubba. A feeling in my bones says I have my way. Hubba, 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 hubba. Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way. Hey, hey. Yeah, my little bug spot got you.
That's it.
Yeah, it ain't so good when it ain't going your way. Yeah. Huh?
Bob, you should get an award. Oh, you should get an award for today. Today was award worthy. anybody who doesn't listen to this show just for the music is an idiot.
You're missing
out. I would just listen, just like fast forward through Bill and I and the guest and whatever, and just get to the music. Oh my gosh! All right, so we've got like, I don't know, 4 minutes or something.
Call to action.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is such a huge opportunity for our community. Everything is aligned for what we're trying to accomplish, for what we're trying to actually make happen as a community. It's time for you to step up. So either you just commit to the idea that you're just a complainer and you don't want to do anything and put your T-shirt on that says that so we know who you are, or you step up and you actually play a role.
Scarlet
we need
letter.
People. We only have a month and a half left. And we have quite a few signatures that still have to be gained. The people who are working on this campaign have done a fantastic job. But we have radio ads. We have paper, full-page print ads that need to go out. We have another mailer that needs to actually get out there for education. We have a lot of things that are actually occurring right now, and we need your help. If you're one of those groups that's been suppressed, say you're the SOJ group and you didn't get the chance to go talk to the city council.
Those are the state of Jefferson people.
State of Jefferson people to recognize what your free First Amendment rights. Or if you wanted to go talk to the supervisors and they couldn't see past their noses to actually make something happen for you, this is your chance.
How about if you wanted to start a business and couldn't afford all the fees and traffic studies and
six-figure in fees alone, all the impacts.
Or you just wanted to close down the massage parlor in the driveway of your workplace.
Yeah, there's so many reasons right now for you to actually act. So you know what? Either get a petition and gather some signatures, volunteer to actually be a part of some of these efforts that are out there to make this happen, contribute. We need funds for commercials and print ads and so on. This is our chance to do this.
At the very least, sign the darn recall.
Yeah.
Okay, so best way for them to do that. Let's give the simplest first.
We have a number of locations that are posted either on the Shasta County United webpage or on social media, or you can contact me and I'll tell you where we're going to be. I can give you petitions and you can go out and do them yourself. I mean, this is something that you have to make happen. And we just had a drive-through where we were down in the Raley's parking lot and San Francisco Deli parking lot. We brought in over 500 signatures for that one. So I know there's people out there. But one of the things that we heard the most about was the question we heard the most was, you know what? What are you guys recalling? And that was just amazing to us.
Yeah.
Considering everything that's going on right now in your community, make the effort to reach out and figure out what is going on and why it impacts
if
you.
If you're a voter in the city of Reading, whether you voted recently or not, but you need to be a registered voter.
We'll help you get registered.
And you can register to vote and sign the petition all at the same time.
Absolutely.
How the recall.
How close are we?
If I had an extra week, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
How many signatures do you need?
We need basically 10,000. It's 9,872 or something like that. Quite frankly, we need more than that because we're afraid that there'll be some disqualified.
Yeah, I think they say you need like a third more just to cover.
We want 12 or 13,000.
So out of 90,000 people, and you figure, you know, you have a. Even if half of them are registered to vote, you should be able to.
And ladies and gentlemen, regardless of which side of the fence you're on, what we're doing right now to gather these signatures is just to get this on the ballot. That doesn't mean that they're disqualified or they're automatically gone or anything. That just gives you the right to vote. And you get a say in this. This gives you that right. So don't think that you have to make a decision right now. And those things about what the cost is going to be, those are overinflated numbers. And quite frankly, we're filing for an exception to make this a mail-in ballot as well. So, I mean, that would limit it to $30,000,
$40,000. Outstanding. Well, there's a lot to be done, and so you can go to wethepeopleradio.us. That gives you all the information. Or Vince's email is VintWStevenson, StevenSon, @yahoo.com. Phone number is 530-949-5000. You can find Bill and I on the web. We'd be happy to give it to you over the phone. We'll make sure we have that at the ready.
Give me 10 seconds if you would. I just want to thank a couple groups who have been very significant in this. You have some of the youth groups who have actually asked not to be named. You know who you are because they're afraid of, you know, reprisal and so on. SOJ is not afraid. They stand up and they help people like Round Mountain Bob and Gary and so on. Fantastic people that are actually doing something to help. Rally Sally doesn't miss an opportunity. So there are people out there that have gotten to the point where they don't care. It's like, mm-hmm. you know what, you right. can do whatever you want to me, but we're going to make it happen.
Well, this is just the beginning. I mean, if we can get this thing over the goal,
sends a shockwave through the system.
There's other things coming. I mean, this is huge.
Yeah. We can make a difference, ladies and gentlemen.
So if your city is having issues like this or headed this direction, you'd be wise to follow the goings-on here in Redding, California. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for that award.
Awesome, buddy.
All right, we'll see you next week. Probably go back to some national politics, but you're listening to We the People Radio. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
And you're tuned to KCNR, Shasta, Redding.